I often thank you all at the end of my speaking because, like Judd was saying, it's so important to remember the things to be grateful for. You know, hearing my mom play and hearing Kara play just brings back happy memories. And one of the things that I'd like to talk about today is the fact that we have all that we need to be happy inside of us already. But we get it all twisted, that the devil wants to attack us and confuse us. And I kind of had a moment of awareness this week. I was kind of feeling down and I was getting ready to go to Trader Joe's or something. I can't remember. And I was feeling very sorry for myself. And Judd gave us all for Christmas two framed pictures, one of my father and one of my sister. And I looked at them, and before I would kind of avoid looking at them because of the pain that I felt. But I looked at them, and because I've been working on myself and praying, and I've got a little bit of freedom, I felt the joy of remembering who they were to me, right? I'm not going to let the pain of losing them rob me of the joy that I get when I remember them. I'm just not going to do it. It's a decision that I make. You understand? It would be easy to think of how unfair, especially for Darcy, to think how unfair it is and go into bitterness and resentment and sadness. But I choose to remember and be lifted up. And that's reinforced when I'm singing up here. I don't weep because I miss my sister. I rejoice because I remember her lovely voice, and singing with my family in this place. That's why I sing. I sing because I love him, not because he wants it. It's a decision that I make, that all of us make every single day. We have inside of us all that we need for fulfillment, contentment, and peace. It's just a matter of what we are going to focus on. Anyhow, we're going to start with a Bible verse. I do need a Bible. We're going to start with Mark chapter 4, verses 13 and 14.
I guess I could look it up in my... A church with no Bible, Steve?
Mark chapter 13 and 14. Last week, I was talking about the parable of the sower and the seeds. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are known as the synoptic gospels because they all say roughly the same thing. So it's like the Greek word synonym, meaning multiple words that mean the same thing. So John is the only one that's kind of like over here. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke all say the same versions of the same stories. They add some, but it's basically the same thing. And we read about the parable of the sower and the seed in Matthew last week. But in Mark, they have the same sower and the seed parable, but then it goes on where Jesus explains it. And he says, "And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes away and takes the word which has been sown in them.'" People conflate, when the Bible talks about the word, they think the Bible, the written word. Or they think the word as in the good news of the gospel. Accept Jesus into your heart and be saved to heaven. But the Word is the Holy Spirit. It is the essence of God. Right? John says, in the beginning, there was the Word. Well, there wasn't the Bible, and there was no gospel yet because Jesus hadn't died for everybody's sin. So what is he talking about? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is the Holy Spirit that allows us to decipher all things. That's why Jesus doesn't just come out and say, listen, this is what you got to do. The problem with most religions is that they give you the steps you got to take to get the thing that you want and that you want. So you want salvation, you want freedom from fear. Well, do these things and you will get them. That is kind of the get-rich-quick scheme of religion. But if that was all there was to it, then Jesus would have just said it. Why does he speak in riddles? Why is he always talking about the disciples say, Lord, where are you going? What are you doing? Tell us what to do. Why doesn't he just say, oh yeah, you just got to accept Jesus into your heart. I'm going to die for your sins. Don't worry about it. That'll be done. And then you just like pray that I'll enter your heart, and then that's good. Why doesn't he just say that? Lord, tell us what they... He's 3 years there with him. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, right? The kingdom of heaven is like a sower who sows. The kingdom of heaven is like a tree. Why doesn't he just spell it out? Is what I thought as a young man. If you had the most important mission in the history of the world, if I had the winning numbers to the lottery, and Judd said, what are the winning numbers to the lottery? And I said, the numbers of the lottery are like a man who walks down a road, and the sun peeks behind the... Just tell me what the words are, dude. Because that is not the way it works. Like we were talking about, the path cannot be shown. It cannot be said. You must follow it. Jesus died so that we could all have the Holy Spirit, so we could all each tap into that to find our own way. So when he speaks in these parables, how do you find the meaning? You have the meaning because you have the Word. It's been there since the beginning. The Word's with God. It is God. And he's in us. Jesus says, if you want to know the Father, look at me. For I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. It's no mistake then that he tells us to invite him into us. Even the communion. We're not zombies. We don't eat flesh and drink blood. He's the answer. He's the decoder ring. He's inside of us. We put him inside. We're signifying that. We're remembering that. We're aware of it. But that's hard to hear. I remember when Dad would preach and he would talk about these lofty things and living forever and all these things you had to do. And like, brother, I can't even keep my gas on. And do you understand? It's so much easier if he were to just say, oh, do this very simple thing. But it's not that easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. So the Word is in us, and it enables us to figure out what to do. And yet, we all have issues in living our lives. And the second part is, we all have the Word inside of us. We all have the Holy Spirit. So we all have the ability to be content. But the second part is, being able to practice that. Did that make sense? I tell my kids all the time and my students when I ask them what they want to be when they grow up. Now they say all kinds of weird stuff like, I want to be on TikTok or I'm going to play video games on Twitch. Like, okay, you know, I don't want to yuck your yum, but that seems weird and I don't like it. It's new and different and I don't like it, Steve. But I also hear a lot of, I'm going to be a professional basketball player. I'm going to be a professional football player. What kind of car do you want to drive when you grow up? 2008 Subaru Impreza? Good luck. Right? All of them, a Maserati, a Bugatti, right? All of these things, they have these big dreams, they have these big dreams. And I say, that is well and good. But if you look on your street, you will not see many Bugattis. That's because it's very difficult to get them. If you want those things, you must work hard and separate yourself. So, the thing about being a young person is that, like all people, they are filled with fear and anxiety. And so, in order to kind of tamp that down, they want to stay in the group, huddled in the group, right? Because if you stay outside the group, there's no protection. That's where you get mocked. You stay in the group, there's protection in there, right? So, as young people, we spend our whole lives fitting in. And then when we become an adult, we want to stand out, but we've only learned how to fit in. As a child, I wanted to be part of the popular kids. I wanted to fit in. And then when I grew up and I was just a regular nobody like everybody else, I was filled with extreme sadness and remorse, right? Because I hadn't worked hard and learned how to stand out. The same is true with all things in life, in spirituality, in our awareness, in our walk, in our path. If you act like everybody else, you will be like everybody else. Most people are filled with fear. Quick sidetrack. In my opinion, there are two root causes for good and bad. Good is love. All things that are good can be traced back to love, right? Generosity, kindness, compassion, peace, understanding, all flows from love. And I believe the adverse or the opposite side is fear. Racism, bigotry, theft, murder, covetousness, it all comes from fear. And we have so much of that in us, right? We're afraid of everything. Most people accept Jesus into their heart because they don't want to burn in hell, or they're worried that they'll die and there's nothing. So religion gives them freedom from that fear. You don't have to worry about it, man. Everything's going to be fine. We have so much fear in us that it leads us to try and find ways to alleviate that, to stamp it out. But the problem is, almost all people look for things out there to solve the fear in here. And they don't understand or have forgotten that the antidote to the fear is the peace through the Holy Spirit. Did that make sense? But I know a million Christians, one of them is standing up here talking into a microphone, that feel fear. So the question is, how do I get rid of it? If I have the answer inside of me, and I know it's the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the opposite of fear, it's love, well then, how come I feel so much fear all the time? It can manifest in any number of ways. Anxiety, depression, anger, right? Jealousy, rage. All of these things come from fear. Politics and religion, they're trying to scare you about what's happening. We're filled with fear. Christians are filled with fear. Muslims are filled with fear. Atheists are filled with fear. How do we fight this? We do it through action. If you behave like everybody else, you will be like everybody else. When I was living and thinking like everybody else, I was filled with fear. I was afraid of what happened to my sister and my father. Right? But I have been doing better. And the way that I've been doing better is I have been behaving differently than I was before. And that has come in two ways. My practice of prayer time. I have not missed a day. I don't say this as a braggadocious way. I say it as evidence. I have not missed a day of prayer in probably a year now. That is not to tell how good I am, but that has helped me change from the man that I was to the man that I am and to the man that I want to be. If you diet for a week and then stop, it's not going to work. If you don't stick with the diet, it's not going to work. If I don't stick with my prayer time, then I revert back to the fear. So the more that I practice, the more that I walk, the further along my journey I get. I have to stop behaving like I was, like everyone else, and begin behaving like the person that I want to be. I don't pray for 4 hours like my father. I'm not that good yet. In fact, I only pray for about 25, 30 minutes a day. I've been trying to increase it a little bit. So I always pray in the morning. I wake up and I drink my coffee, and before the kids get awake and start bothering me, that's when I pray. And it helps me to kind of put on some music, or sometimes I have like this guided meditation thing that I do for like 5-10 minutes. The prayer time is not so much a list of questions that I'm asking Jesus, or a Santa Claus list of things that I want. It is that too. Heal Josette, protect my family, grow the church, help me with awareness, these kinds of things. But before that, I need help. I need guidance, right? So what we do here, I think, is very important in general, whether we do it here or not. But in my daily life, I often will receive the message that I think that the Lord wants me to share during my prayer time. That's not a coincidence, right? When I'm at Trader Joe's talking about the weather, sure is hot out there, click, 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 right? No awareness, right? I just do my thing. When I slow down, that's when the Lord is able to reveal to me the thing that's already inside. So if I can do it in the morning and then do it in the afternoon, I may get to where I can hear His voice more clearly, more often. Right? Most people don't do that, which is why most people don't have the peace of mind that I want. The praying is not so I can be better than other people. The praying is so that I can hear the voice a little more loudly. It's like a feeling. It's not like, Gabe, you need to love people. It's like a feeling. It's a gentle compulsion that I get. It's like a word of wisdom or knowledge that I get. So when I had just prayed and then I came to put my shoes on right near the front of the door and I see the picture of my sister and my father, that feeling of love that I got, that's the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit. I know it is. I don't need to tell anybody that. I know it is. And it's that feeling of love and the knowledge that I got to think of it differently. It's like a sudden understanding. It's like waking up from a dream. It's like, I've been looking at this all wrong. I've been avoiding looking at their pictures because of the pain. But the Holy Spirit grants me that knowledge and reminds me of the good thing. And then I have the peace that I wanted. And then I get in my car, and my awareness kind of slows down, and I think, why is this person driving so slow? Right? And then I get to work, and it's so easy to slip back in. But the more that I'm practicing, the more amount of time, and the more readily I get that voice of peace back. I walked into Trader Joe's last night, and as I was walking into the back, I heard somebody talking about me and Aiden. And I didn't hear the context, but my knee-jerk reaction was to assume it's something bad. And I didn't want to go in there and be like, hey! So I just walked in, and the devil started to whisper fearful thoughts. What are they thinking about you? What are they saying about you? Right? This is the way life goes, the push and pull, the tug. And the fear started to creep back in. But fortunately, since I've been working at it, I was able to stop myself. and just seek his guidance. And the feeling that I got was they could be saying something nice. And even if they are saying something mean, it's irrelevant. Because your happiness and peace is not dependent on their thoughts of you. And that grants me a freedom that I didn't have before. Did that make sense? That's the gospel. In all things, in all scenarios, in all circumstances, I have a freedom that I didn't have before. Because no matter what happens, if I'm faithful to listen, the word is inside and will remind me. It reminds me when I'm feeling depressed. And somebody says, How are you doing? I'm depressed. No, I'm not. I'm currently feeling depressed, but I'm not depressed. And if I'm faithful to listen to him, that depression will fade away. The awareness of the Holy Spirit shines light on the fear, and the fear cannot exist in the light, and it fades away. It's only when I turn off the light of awareness, when I stop trying to listen to the Word of God, that I start to feel all those things again. And the devil is faithful to creep back in. Behold, he prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. That word may is not ability, it's permission. We allow him to enter our thoughts when we decide to stop working on our awareness. Mark chapter 7, verse 14 through 23. I'm going to try and keep it by 30 minutes. Mom always rants and raves after I'm done. She'll say, you go way too long. People are bored. And I'm like, Mom, I feel like that's pretty harsh. And she's like, listen, if I'm not going to tell you, who's going to tell you? Mark chapter 7, verse 14, the heart of man. After he called the crowd to him again, he began saying to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside the man which can defile him if it goes into him. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. When he left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples questioned him about the parable. And he said to them, are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him, because it does not go into his heart but into his stomach, and it is eliminated? And he was saying, that which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. Now, scholars have said that's about ancient Judaism, ancient today Judaism. There's laws about eating pork and such, and people think that he's addressing that, and he may have been in addition. But I would argue that just like he says, it's not about whether or not you murder the person. If you're thinking about murdering the person, that's just as bad. Because then inside of you is defiled. We are so often thinking, comparing, and analyzing and identifying by the things that are outside. Teaching middle school, I get all kinds of parents who worry about, the things that their kids are watching and the video games that they're playing, and they should. Parents got to be careful. But you can't lose the forest for the trees, right? You can't be worried about what's going on out there if you're not tending to business in here. So if somebody says, is it a sin to drink this or eat that or do this? I don't know. You got to figure that out for yourself. The Word will tell you. And if you're not listening to the Word, then everything you're saying and doing will be testament to that. Right? The heart and the mind, those are the places where fear or love reside. Tend to them, and the other things will figure themselves out. I don't mean to, I was saying something like this the other week, and somebody took offense because they were like going through some certain thing. Please don't take offense when if you feel like I'm criticizing something that you do. I'm only trying to find my own truth. I only urge people, when somebody's sad, the first thing they think about is what out there will make them happy, right? Whether it's food or alcohol or relationships or job or money or medicine or therapy. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with therapy. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with medicine. But I am saying, be faithful, be diligent to focus on prayer and seeking the Word of God, and He'll give you the answer. There's nothing out there that can fix you, because you're not broken. The Holy Spirit is inside you. We just don't tend to business. As a young man, I was filled with fear and loathing and anxiety. And so I would drink, or I would smoke, or I would, you know, try and find a relationship. And that would give me a moment where I was focusing on those things more than the fear. And then my mind would say, see, now you're happy. But it wasn't. It wasn't. And it never was going to be. If it was just a matter of accepting Jesus into your heart, I did that when I was in kindergarten. I cannot behave like everyone else and expect different results. If I go to therapy for 20 years and am still miserable, then maybe I need to try therapy and also something else. The answer is so simple and yet so difficult. It's like working out. Everybody knows if you eat fewer calories and exercise more, you will lose weight, but that sucks. So they read online or something, dude, drink apple cider vinegar. I'm not saying that drinking apple cider vinegar is bad, but the answer is simple, it's just hard. The answer for peace and happiness is pray often, listen to the Holy Spirit, and follow its guidance. But that's hard, because it requires daily, hourly attention. But that's the lie. If you're thinking about prayer as a chore, you're already being lied to. The prayer time that we do in church here, it's not a chore. If it feels like a chore, I would ask you to re-examine the way you're thinking about it. Because if you're only a Christian so you go to heaven, if you're only praying so that you're a good person, you're not going to see the results you want. If you're always focused on how the world is bad, you're not going to get the results you want. If you're always looking for a moment of peace out there, you're not going to get the results that you want. Like I tell my students, if you become a rich millionaire playing for the Lakers, or you become a homeless man living on the streets, my life changes zero at all. I will empathize for you, or I will rejoice in your success, and then I will drive to my house and eat my food and live my life. My prayer time is for me only. And in that, I find growth that may help other people. I will not be able to heal anyone until I get this and this in line. But I'm getting it closer. Last week I came up after the sermon, I felt like maybe I was focusing a little too much on the negative. But I wanted to remind everybody, there's ups and downs. The downs don't define me. They're just another opportunity for ups. My prayer time grants me freedom and peace. Freedom to rejoice in the memory of my sister and my father. Freedom from the pain of losing them. My prayer time gives me freedom to where I can work at Trader Jobs, mopping the bathroom floor, and get the same kind of fulfillment that I do at school. It gives me the freedom to drive through LA. Peaceful. Can you imagine? All things become available to me when I do it. We got to be faithful to do it. We have to be faithful to do it. Jesus says, the path of the righteous is narrow and very few go down it. The path to destruction is broad. That's not because we, the elite, are going to heaven and the rest of those suckers are going to hell. It's because the path to finding him requires diligence, daily diligence. And so most people don't do it. And so most people live their life unconscious, fearful, filled with anxiety. But I remind myself, it does not matter what they all do. It only matters what I do. We have to flip the paradigm. It is not a difficulty to pray. It is an opportunity and a blessing. It is not a difficulty to work on awareness. It's the key to unlocking your life. You are not all of the bad things out there. You are a wellspring of peace and wisdom and love connected to the Creator of all things. What else could you possibly need? A better job? A better car? Would that make you happy? If you're happy now, get a better car and love it. But if you're not happy now, it doesn't matter what Bugatti you get. It's here. It always has been. We just got to be faithful to look at it. Be blessed this week. Be blessed this week in your life. Be blessed this week in your life. Remind yourself when you read something on the news about Ukraine. Pray for them, but tend to business in your own heart and mind. Remind yourself when you go into work and there's a bad boss or a difficult employee or a difficult customer that your happiness is not dependent on them. And tend to yourself and your mind and your heart. When you stress out about bills or life or your kids, pray for them, but tend to yourself and your mind and your heart. And the more you do, the more peace and blessings you will receive. And the more you receive, the more things will work themselves out. I cannot tell you how down I was about volleyball. It's like the weirdest, dumbest thing. It was only 2 hours a day, and I used to stress about it. What are they thinking? The girls are going to... I did all this work, and then what if we lose? And then later they look back. And what if, what if, what if, what if, what if? It's just a shift. Here and here. And all that out there. I remind myself, sometimes I think, man, I'm getting older. No spring chicken. I'm going to live the rest of my life like some weird monk in the mountains. My kids are going to move away and I'll just be in this house by myself. That's the devil trying to lie to me and think that out there is what I need. Here and here. If these are tended to, then those things will work themselves out. I can tell you it's true because there was almost a miracle this morning. Aiden almost came to church. Just joking. I sometimes think maybe you should make him or guilt him into coming. But if I'm living my life in a way that he respects, he will come to me. I will not have to hunt him down. Be blessed this week. Remind yourself. Put it in your phone. I downloaded an app. I play video games, so I like numbers and things going up and showing progress. Find what works for you. The Holy Spirit was tailor-made for you, for your needs, for your wants, for your desires, for your challenges. It's tailor-made specifically for you to figure out the things that you need and deserve and giving them to you. Be blessed. It's so good. How long did I waste? A foolish, foolish man. I built my house on the sand, but I'm rebuilding it. And all the other things come. Job, kids, work, all things. Cars, bills. Do not be lied to. Do not let him rob you. He'll try and rob you by telling you about the sicknesses and the wars and the... Here and here. Tend to it daily. Try and remind yourself it's not work. I used to think a dad would be in here for 4 hours. Man, I want to do that for 4 hours? It sounds terrible. It's not terrible. It's not terrible. You don't have 4 hours a day. You're not a pastor. Find some time. Carve it out. Be diligent. Record things. I have a whiteboard at home, and this is a promise. This is the last thing I'm going to say. Mom. I have a whiteboard on my, of a calendar, and I write down every day that I work out, and I write down every day that I pray. And it gives me a, I can see. You know, in our lives, we're just working, and then you think, well, I've been praying every day. Well, have you, though? Because you could have missed a day, and you forgot it, and you think, well, I've been praying, and I'm not seeing anything. Or I've been exercising, but I'm not seeing anything. That may not work for you. It worked for me. But be diligent. You will reap the rewards. Jesus promised, and he's not a liar. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful to the end, to the glorious, glorious end. I'll bow and close in prayer. Lord, thank you for this place and these people. Thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Help us, Jesus. Remind us. Remind us in our everyday lives. Remind us in the morning. Remind us in the afternoon and evening. Help us to pray. Help us to pray for awareness. Awareness of our thoughts and our feelings. Awareness of your voice. Awareness of your guidance and your counsel. Give us courage that when we hear that we move forward in power, in purpose. Give us compassion, Lord. Compassion for ourselves, first and foremost, that when we stumble and fall, love does not take into account a wrong suffered. We pick ourselves up and we continue to march along the path, faithful to listen to your guidance. Give us love. Love for you. Love for our neighbors. And bring us back next week filled with praise reports, filled with evidence of your good deeds. Bind the devil from our minds. Bind the devil from our lives. Heal us, make us well, and keep us well. In your holy name, amen.